That's a good idea.
Okay,
Okay.
so we are now recording. So as I was saying, Peter, we'll be talking about bifurcation. But before that, I've got just some few things to say to you. And of course, if you have any questions that you have not yet pre-submitted to me, you can start writing them in the chat now whilst I am going through these announcements. So as Stefan, you very kindly asked, yes, Peru was a huge success to everybody who attended. So thank you very much for asking. And there is a second round, just to remind all of you, the next one is in August. So if you get MOFO, is that, yeah, no FOMO even, not MOFO. Oopsie. I just realized what MOFO is. The other way around, FOMO. If you get FOMO, then don't worry. Peter is facilitating another course at the mid-August. And there are many more dates for your diary for live facilitated courses by Peter. The next one coming up is Egypt, which is the 9th to the 19th of March. So good luck to all of you who will be going on that trip. I hope you have a wonderful time. And then after that, we do have on the 23rd of March is our next magical workshop, which will be on magical protection. So if you are a member, please do look out for the email that will come so that you can register to join for that day. If you are not a member, but you would like to join magical protection, then we'll pop the link in the chat very, very soon. This is obviously all about how to magically protect yourself against many different types of negative energies and entities, you and your clients. After that, we've got on the 24th of this month our next Ultimate Healing Part One online webinar. So it's not too late for you to join. If you have been a Part One, which is the self-healing aspect, if you are a student, have been a student, you can still join us in this live webinar series. Again, link to come. Peter will be then flying out to Germany. He's a busy man this year, flying out to Germany because in June, from the 11th to the 14th, he will be there to facilitate healings to anyone who is based in Germany. And on June the 15th and 16th, he will be there to facilitate live in person the crystal magic course. So if you have any interest in crystals or you want to work closer with your crystals and you want to get hands-on with Peter, then you're welcome to join him in Germany on June the 15th and 16th. And then after that, we've got point holding. So Ultimate Healing Body Electronics. And that is in from the 18th of June all the way through to the 11th of July. So there's the opportunity to join all 3 weeks of the intensive. And that will be held in Holland. And then we've got Peru, as I said at the beginning, which is running from the 12th to the 20th. So that's a lot going on for this year, but also just some music to your ears and seeds to be planted for 2025. If you didn't read the newsletter, Peter has also announced some more dates for Peru. So you might want to start saving your pennies for this one. Again, in February of 2025, this is when and where Peter will be holding next year's intensive. It will be in Peru. So in February of 2025, the 3 weeks intensive will be in Peru of point holding, and facilitated straight after that will be the 9-day medicine retreat. So that will all happen across February and March. And then he will be going back to Peru in August for anyone who is interested in attending a 30-day medicine retreat. But you cannot be a beginner for that one. You need to have attended one of the shorter versions, which is why it's important to get your name down for this August or for February if you think you might be interested in doing a 30-day medicine retreat. Peter, why on earth would anyone want to do a 30-day medicine retreat, please?
That's actually the next stage of becoming a shaman. When you're taking it every day for 30 days, it's totally separated the whole time. You hold different space, you connect to the platform more deeply. Of course, you could go through massive healing by yourself and go through deep into your process. You're right in the process for the 30 days, basically. But if you actually intend to do that, 30 days, it's going to take you right to the edge of that one and make transformation. It's also particularly for training to be a shaman, because during this course, apart from getting in touch with the ayahuasca more, I'll be actually giving you empowerments, what to call spirits, do exorcisms, set up protection, things like that. You're actually perfectly equipped to handle, hold sacred space and remove all dark energies. So it's not just for those who actually want to run ceremonies, but people who want to do any form of shamanic healing where they need these powers. It'll actually really empower you to take to the next level.
Indeed. Thank you very much. So please, as I said, have that date in your mind. And if you do want to attend that in any way, then you must attend a shorter version one first. And in line with today's topic, Peter has announced also until midnight on Tuesday. I mean, I don't know whose midnight. It could be anyone's midnight. If we could confirm whose midnight, is it everyone's midnight or just a particular country's midnight? But until midnight on Tuesday, you've got the opportunity to buy the High Vibration Ascension package with 20% off. And Peter will be talking more about that High Vibration Ascension package with 20% off during his discussion today. So that leads me now to put him in the spotlight, bring him into the center of the page so that he can start to talk to you about bifurcation in much more detail. Continue to pop your questions about anything that I've just said into the chat, and I will be very, very happy to ask those at the right time. So Peter, please, thank you very much.
Okay, so purpose of today really is not just about talking about bifurcation in general, but actually what to do about it, what you need to do at this time to actually make sure you have a positive future. So I want to explain the whole process in terms of the physics of space-time. We'll get a little Mobius strip for a minute.
And whilst you do this, Peter, before you start going into the physics of space-time, can I just make sure then that you are on our timeline so that everyone can have the great opportunity to follow along with what it is that you're about to describe?
Right. Well, so about that, I'll be in between timelines here, pulling you all in with me. What I want to mention, first of all, is that space-time is actually curved back on itself into the fourth dimension. It's not linear, as people often think. It's more like what we call a Mobius strip. If I take a Mobius strip here in a moment, if you have a little strip and turn it, twist it in the middle, so it turns back on itself. So it's twisted in the middle, that's a Mobius strip. Quite hard to see, but that's sort of twisted back on itself. Well, that's what space-time looks like, if you're doing it in fourth dimension. Now, think about this. When you travel down the surface of it, because it goes through this twist in the middle, it's going to end up on the other side, which means everything has its opposite, paradoxical side to it. I'll talk about some of the common paradoxes of physics to understand how this actually works. One of the good ones for describing it was called the grandpa paradox. This guy goes back in time to kill his grandfather before he actually had any children, which means that he couldn't exist. Therefore, he couldn't go back to kill his grandfather in the first place. What you really got then on the two sides of the Mobius strip? Well, the reality was he killed his grandfather, and the reality where he didn't exist, so he couldn't kill his grandfather. Two actually coexisting. Which means in the end, because they both coexist, he had to go back and kill his grandfather so that he could exist. It's how these paradoxes work. They're tied to each other. Two opposite realities, but somehow tied together on opposite sides of this space-time continuum loop. So everything has its paradoxical side that's trying to exist with it. Exists another plane. And to some degree, we experience emotions of that, which affects our consciousness as we experience this reality. So as an example of this, how it applies to bifurcation, on one hand, you've got this kind of miracle happening where everybody's trying to go to a better reality, people waking up. They've got this new financial system coming, which makes the whole system more fair and stop people being ripped off by the banks. And, so it's like basically creating a much better world. On the other hand, you've got those who are trying to struggle for the opposite, trying to create this new world order where we have no freedom, no privacy, don't own anything, totally controlled. And both these sides are basically... What's that going on? So both these sides are basically coexisting.
That's the British invasion.
Some noise coming up. So these two sides basically coexist. You have both happening together in a slightly different reality. And when you experience one, to some degree you experience the other one emotionally. And this is why the process of disc creation is so important. You see, if you're trying to step into this miracle side where everything is wonderful, at the same time you experience the negative side emotionally. You feel all these horrible things happening in the world, all the depression, all the loss of hope, all the kind of going downhill, losing freedom, all those things. They're all there emotionally too. So one has to experience those and discreate them in order to be free, to be on the positive side. But this doesn't just happen on a global scale. Obviously, we all have our individual experiences of this split as well. On an individual level, we have each one of us this kind of positive reality we're trying to create for ourselves, and the negative one which is trying to assert itself. What's the paradoxical side of that? So in order to actually change this on a global level, we have to start with our actually personal experience here, a personal duality, a personal paradox. So you first of all look at what you want to create, a better world, and you realize when you focus on that, there's going to be all these negatives. the hopelessness of all the bad things trying to happen to you, all things that could go wrong. It's not just going to go away unless you experience the emotions first. So this kind of quantum loop in the Möbius strip shows you why this dissociation process is so important, because it exists there. We have to experience it before we can be free of it. So what happens then when you're trying to experience the positive and the negative comes up? You've got to go into those emotions, feel them, welcome them, let them pass. When they've gone, suddenly you're just fully in your kind of positive reality, and that's where you're heading up. So you see, in order to actually be in the positive reality, you have to experience the negative. This is where some people are going wrong. They want to dismiss all negativity from the mind, but all that is doing is push it deep in the unconscious. It's in the unconscious where things tend to get seated and start manifesting. We don't want to do that. All these feelings have to be felt. Once they've been felt, so you can let go of them, then they're no longer in a process of creation. So basically, this bifurcation process that's going on, we have to decide which side we're on. Because it's no longer just many possibilities. There's two major ones, positive and a negative. But this is reflecting your own reality too, as I was saying. You have your positive dream you're trying to manifest, and it's all this stuff that can go wrong. So before you even look at the global scale, you'll realize that when you look at your personal kind of problem, it's much reflective of what's happening in the world. The two reflect each other in emotions. So in a way, when you deal with one, you deal with the other. So the first thing you do is then you come back to your dream. It can be for yourself, for the world, the kind of world you want to be in, the success you want for yourself, so you're wonderful. And then suddenly all come the feelings from the negative. All that can go wrong, all the hopelessness, the way it's going to go wrong, where it isn't going to work, all those things. That's going to be there. So I said, take time to feel it. By feeling, you discreate it. You welcome the feelings. When you finish welcoming, they pass. Remember, feeling something is not the same as believing in it. This is where people go wrong again. Think somebody just going to want to feel the negative feelings means you're going to create them. It doesn't work that way. When you feel the emotions without actually identifying with them, without actually believing them, it's simply a process of cleansing. Feelings want to be felt. They're not who you are. They're just simply feelings. You feel them. When they're felt, they pass. So when you feel all the negative feelings from this negative side that's trying to manifest, it no longer manifests. You welcome it, feel it, it passes. Then you find you're on the positive side again. So you see, the bifurcation process is really like a major kind of process of discreation. Or we have to take it that way if we want to make sure we're on the positive side. Otherwise, it gets pretty random, doesn't it? You get sucked into the very stuff you're resisting because you don't know how to discreate it. Right now in the world, there are those two possibilities happening. There's the better financial system. There's the kind of banks trying to control everything, putting us back into slavery, pushing further and further down. And to control everybody, chip everybody, vaccinate everybody, take all your freedom away, take all your property away, everything, even take your privacy away. And on the other hand, you have this kind of free system. We've got more money, more freedom to do anything you want and can grow. And it's like, okay, if both are going to happen, what's going to happen? You decide. Not everybody is the same reality. It's the important thing to realize here. Both exist. You'll see it somewhere, but it doesn't have to be the reality you are in. What it looks like when we get there is hard to say. Maybe you're not aware of the other side at all. It's gone. It's not in your reality. But some people have seemed to vanish from your reality and gone another way. You may see it in certain countries where these things happening, where you're not, and other people experience those that slavery, and you're in a world where actually you're very free. It can happen so many different ways. But basically, there's this point of splitting where we have to choose. And to choose the positive, you have to be willing to experience the emotions of the negative, discreate it. So the process of discreation here then is to actually start to welcome the feelings. As you welcome them, you expand. Every feeling leads to more. You know, no feeling comes inside in this whole picture that's somewhere. When you start welcoming an emotion, you find you expand. You feel more and more of that creation in the belt. Till the whole thing is laid out in front of you, because through all the emotions you've seen from the outside, and you see there's the creation you were afraid of. Once you're no longer in it, you simply commit it to discreate itself and it fades away because you have no longer the emotional attachment to it. When the emotion is finished, then you can discreate. You see it as a whole, let it go, and it's gone. When that's gone, you find yourself fully in that positive creation that you actually want. So the very first sort of discreation we've looked at in many of the courses, this is what has to be done with bifurcation. That right now, all the time, both these realities are kind of showing themselves. Many people are not even aware of the positive things trying to happen. I mean, how many of you heard of the Chisara Nisara? That's the new financial system, which everybody's going to be fair. it's a gold backed currency, but every country is going to be based on a similar kind of level here. So you haven't got one starving and the currency meaning nothing. Everybody has enough. There's no other banks taking everything. Along with that, there's many other kind of freedoms come on where all the corruption's been sort of announced. Most people don't even hear about that stuff. So much in the news, all the disasters, all the wars, and the kind of deaths of vaccines, all the loss of freedom here and there. That's what people are being presented with all the time. And this is where you often feel it emotionally. People are losing hope of what they can actually could create because they're not seeing the alternative. They see the negative side. So it is important to look around a bit and see what else is happening. Look at what the positive can be. That though it is change in the world, both sides are possible. And it's simply a case of actually putting yourself into the positive and welcome the emotion for the negative it is creating, and you'll ensure that you're in the positive side. This is what needs to be done. So the simple package I've been giving, we've done before when I spoke about bifurcation, the ascension package, simply has those got attunements and then high vibration check with attunements to actually be in the positive side, makes it much easier to stay, keep that resonance. Because basically what the negative side is doing is always trying to pull your resonance down. It keeps you in a place where you're not a creator. You're just a victim of the whole world, being controlled and being basically enslaved. So the whole kind of system being put out there, which is being presented in the news and everything, of what's going back wrong in the world, is keeping you powerless. We're going to step out of that and actually make sure you raise your vibration. Keep in that place where you know you're creating it. Realizing all that negative is still an illusion, you can actually step out of it and change it. It's creatable. That's going to be important, because people get so much caught in the negativity, it gets too real. Remember, I said before when we talk about creation and manifestation, what you make too real, you can't change. When you know it's an illusion, it's easy to redream it, change it. The things you make real are what you have most difficult changing. We don't want to get caught in all that negative being too real. When you raise your vibration and be above it, you're actually more in tune with that word creation again. Now, everything is your dream, where you realize that your thoughts manifesting in reality. So it is important to raise that vibration. It's why I'm giving you a discount on that package right now, because at this time it gets more and more important. When people are stuck in that kind of negativity being shown on the news and everything and want to know how to create a positive future, you need to raise your vibration basically as a first step. Be in the resonance where you can do what you know to do. It's not as if this is new. People have known for a long time that you can visualize and create your reality, but they tend to be losing hope as more and more negativity is being presented to them. So it's important to actually step up out of that, raise your vibration again. Stop focusing on the limitations and actually focus on building your power until you realize again you can create the better and you can discreate the negative. It's about everybody being empowered. So you can't be doing this for everybody. There's going to be two worlds basically. You can't make everybody go into the positive world. Everybody's going to have to choose this for themselves according to how far they're working and actually creating something better within their own mind. This has happened before. Atlantis, and there was more than one Atlantis what happened. Each time we get a chance, where those who are ready to move on can actually create a better world. Right now, this reality has evolved from the Atlantis that was destroyed. It was an alternative one where they created the miracle, and this is the kind of same kind of bifurcation we're at now. If you don't actively participate in creating the miracle, you'd be stuck in a disaster. So this is the most important time now to raise your vibration and also know how to discommit. Don't push the negative away, actually welcome the feelings and let them go. That's the way you move forward. So, any questions?
Yes, many.
Perfect.
First of all, I would like to talk about the Ascension package. That is this the same Ascension package that you released previously?
Yes, it's just a
Yes.
reminder in case that there's another chance to raise your vibration. So it consists of the God Vibration Mastery Sequence and the unlimited potential chakra attunements.
And also, next question with regards to the same package is, if some people have who purchased it before and have received all of the attunements, is it worthwhile doing it again?
Oh yes, once you've got the package, you can reactivate the attunements anytime. Anytime you feel you're not potentially quite there in your spirituality, where you feel being dragged down, do it again, just to raise you up out of it.
And if anyone has any tornado rapé and wants to do the Ascension package along with the tornado, Rafe, then apparently it's a mind blower. So thanks very much for that recommendation. I might get onto that tomorrow. Okay, so let me go over to the questions then. Thank you very much. And we do have quite a few pre-submitted. When you speak of bifurcation, do you mean that certain areas of the world will tend towards a positive future and others negative? Or is it possible that one location will branch to a positive timeline and the same location branch towards a negative one, like splitting a reality? So you've kind of answered this one already.
Yeah, so it can be either. Things we never know what it looks like from our normal physical point of view, because we used to think things ever being the same and being consistent. When we actually split, it may be that you're not even aware of the other side. You simply see your world changing. You don't know where the other side's gone. For some people won't exist anymore for some reason. They've gone and you don't know where they are. But it's like you find yourself a better world, and some people have gone into a different world.
If we are working through feelings and have low mood a lot, how do we get to the higher vibration?
That's what this package is for. If you actually take those attunements, it actually attunes your chakras. So your chakras are portals to spiritual energy. That's what they're for. When they get blocked and they're not being used properly, it's like you get more and more stuck in the material world and therefore caught in the illusion where you're out of control and therefore everything is too real. So it starts by actually reactivating those chakras and your spiritual powers. It simply takes a reminder, you see, that you are a creator. Basically, it's changing a relationship of creator to creation rather than creature to creation. Remembering that we are creator. That's all what it's about. And to do that, we have to reattune our chakras to our spiritual energy. If they're closed off, then we are not in that flow of creation. Simple.
So you talk about creation and manifesting, and then when negative feelings come up, the idea is to welcome them so that you can discreate them. But what happens when you go to do something and all of these secondaries come up, so you have negative emotions come up, and your action actually creates a negative impact and you start to go on the downward spiral rather than the upward spiral? How do you deal with continuously welcoming negative, impactful events whilst trying to discreate those, if that makes any sense?
It's not the events you welcome, it's the emotion. If you're actually trying to actually create something in this event that's happening, you're doing it the wrong way around. You're going to discreate it first. Well, that means when you're trying to create something, memories come up, all the past negative emotions. If you really welcome those and let them go, they're gone. They don't happen again. If you don't do it properly, not completely, and you've got some emotions stuck there because you haven't felt it all, then obviously it'll come up again. So if when you're in a post of creation, it comes up, okay, that's a bit late then, because it's like it's manifesting. You need to stop. Stop and just feel. Sometimes you've got to act in order to actually stop the disaster from happening, but the first stage is really to feel those emotions so they stop manifesting. The process of discreation is not exactly the same as when you're in the process of actually doing things, getting things done. This is a kind of a more, an earlier step in a way, trying to kind of clear the playing field in a way, make sure everything is clear to manifest what you want. Otherwise, every time you try and create, all the old creations reassert themselves. All the negatives come up, which means when you start your process in meditation, you focus on what you want, all these negatives come up, then you welcome them, expand through them, and go through all the feelings till they're gone, let them go. Then when you focus on what you want, those negatives aren't there anymore. So they don't manifest.
Playing
so
devil's
in the middle of actually doing things, you're doing meditation before you get onto doing things.
Playing devil's advocate then, what if those negative emotions don't go?
They do eventually when you felt them. The important thing is don't get caught inviting them to go away. You feel them as long as it takes until they're finished. If you're too anxious about wanting them to go away, you're not quite getting it because the idea is not to resist them. You've got to welcome them. If you want them to go away, you're not welcoming them. You've got to realize they're just emotions, not who you are. It's okay to feel them, and they will pass once you've felt them. You have to feel them with no resistance. Welcome them. They will change. You may find as soon as you welcome them, they start to change already. You're not forcing them to change, but they start to change anyway. Everything changes. You expand, you go through more layers. Things happen just by welcoming. That's the important thing. Don't focus on trying to make an emotion go away. That's not welcoming. When you welcome and let yourself expand, they change anyway. You go through more and more layers until you get to the end and suddenly it's one out. You're outside it. You're no longer identified, no longer associated in it. You dissociate. You see it's your creation rather than you. That's when you can just let it go and it creates a way.
And then what happens if you welcome, emotions go, you go to take action, and then the emotions come back.
You haven't finished them. Stop and welcome them until they're gone.
So it could be a very lengthy process.
Can be, depends how much emotion you've got. But it's quicker when you welcome it. What people doing to make it slow the process down is actually not welcoming it, hoping it'll go away. Wanted to hurry up and make this clear going away. No, that's the wrong attitude. It won't go away when you do that. Because you're resisting. Resistance is what's keeping you in place. If you really welcome the emotion, it changes much quicker. It doesn't really take long. And you might get really intense to the emotion. There's lots of it going in. You may do lots of memories, but as you welcome it, it goes faster. The important thing is to keep welcoming those emotions. To welcome it, you realize it's not you. You're not identified. It's just a feeling, something you're experiencing, not who you are. And it's okay to feel anything. It's no, when you're not identified with the emotion, it's no longer a threat to you, you see. You no longer need to resist it. So we come back to this simple exercise along before. You find some little object holding your hand and squeeze it. It would be a pen. You realize after a while, you can't tell where the pen ends and your hand begins. That's what happens when you hold on to something. You've become identified. You first let go, then it roll around in your hand a bit to feel the separation. So you know it isn't you. This is what you do with the feelings. You let go, let it be there. So you realize that isn't you. It's something you're feeling. It's not who you are. When you do that, you can now allow any feeling because it's just a feeling. So you get into this kind of position where you're not identified with the feeling. You simply welcome it as a feeling, not who you are. And it becomes easy. You welcome it and then it starts to pass. So the two basic things which cause you to hold on to the emotion, identification and judgment. So when you judge emotion as not wanting something bad you don't want to feel, that's when you resist. If you identify with it, you think it's you, again, you can't let it go. You know, it's like when somebody says, I'm an angry person, or I'm feeling angry. It's not who you are. If you're over-identified with the emotion, you won't shift it. If you're judging it and you're resisting it, it won't shift it. You have to welcome it. The welcoming requires you to not be identified with it. You just let go, let it be there. It's not who you are, it's just a feeling. And you welcome that feeling. And as you welcome it, it starts to change. It passes.
Somebody else has written in.
It becomes a bit of practice.
Sorry, say that again.
It becomes an easy process with a bit of practice. You just have to get into a position where you're not identified. You're the observer and you're welcoming it.
So someone else has written in the chat that, yes, it sometimes takes a few days. And during the feeling process, you do actually have to continue with life. And that's when it gets tricky.
Yeah, so you take time each day until it's done. You can't do it continuously without a day, but, you know, basically, if you actually allow yourself to feel what you feel at the time, it's probably enough for you to get on with life, something else later. Then you can come back to the rest of the feeling when you've got time. You can do it over a few days, it's true, yeah. But, you know, you find you are in control then, as long as you actually felt some of the feeling, it's like it's not overwhelming.
You talk about, with regards to bifurcation, you talk about some people going to the miraculous world and some people going to a world of disaster. So those people that end up in the world of disaster, who's going to help them get out of disaster if we've all gone to the miracle world?
You won't be there anymore. It won't be your reality anymore. They've had the chance and they're fucked up again. Like they did in Atlantis and another 26,000 years before that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, it's like, you know, you do it now because, you know, this is your chance.
Yeah.
I've waited another 12,000 years before you get another bifurcation to get into the miracle.
Okay, so there was a huge global reset happened in the 1800s, empty cities worldwide, fires involving more than 1,000 buildings in virtually all of the US cities, scarcity technology seeded through the world fairs, and it's ending now. So the new population seems to have been unplugged, so they're cabbage patch babies. What is the reason for this mini reset before the bifurcation?
It's part of it. If you look at it, it's like this, the present reset is bifurcation because it can go two ways. The new world order wants to create this reset where nobody has any freedom or nobody owes anything and nobody has supremacy. They're basically making slaves and totally under control. That's the negative side. The positive side, the reset will be the new global currency and everything, which actually makes everybody free. So you see, that is the very thing that's going to go one way or the other.
And has the QAnon operation managed to increase flock moving to the positive timeline?
Well, that can be part of either one if you look at it. See, there's many things out there, and a lot of people don't quite know what they are, and they keep saying things that haven't yet happened, and nobody quite knows who they are. And it's like, well, the problem is waiting for them to actually say something's going to happen isn't going to get you there. We are creating, remember. Part of the problem is when people actually listen to them and think, oh, it's going okay, we'll let them do it. No, that's not going to happen. We are doing it. We are creating our reality. They can be a part of the problem or they can be part of the solution, depends how you see them. It's good to actually have some inspiration and say, okay, there's some other people thinking positively here. We can actually create something better together. But if you think somebody's going to come along and change the world for you, it never happens. I mean, that's what politics is all about. You're trying to devote somebody who's going to make a better world, but it never does. We create our reality. Giving that power away to somebody else never gets you anywhere positive. You have to realize then that this is for us to do, not waiting for somebody else to do anything for us. Yes, many people will be joining in on the same side, but we are not only part of that if we are doing the work too. It's up to us all to actually focus on the positive and discreate all those emotions on the negative.
And then continuing from the same person, has the solar flash been extended? For example, is it happening gradually versus suddenly, like the many we are seeing?
There's nothing new there either. There's been solar flares for so, people get a lot of attention now trying to blame things on Earth or putting attaching hope to it. But even that is a symptom of what's happening. Everything we do happens in our consciousness, happening on an astrological level as well. Doesn't mean it's creating it for us, it's just a reflection. So that too is to be taken in many ways. There's always solar flares, but at the moment it's getting a lot more attention. Some people say it's positive energy, it's going to help us to change and clean negativity away. Some people say it's destructive. Then again, it's what you want it to be. Solar energy can be destructive because it's heat, it's fire. It's like sun is fun, wonderful for growing all your plants, but if it wilts more because you forgot to water them, is that the sun's fault? It can be used for growth, it can be used for destruction. Same with the solar flares, this energy there, how are you going to use it? It can push things along, it can shift things. The fire energy is completely masculine, it's doing, getting motivated. Pushing you along to actually get off your ass and do something.
Is this the first time in this galaxy that the transition to a new destiny is happening whilst we are still in our bodies? Because normally this happens after death.
Yes, but it has happened before. As I said, it happened at the end of Atlantis, which just happened twice, 12,000 years ago, plus 26,000 years ago, because Atlantis rose again and got destroyed a second time. This is like, the fourth experiment, basically. And there's been at least two bifurcations already. We've evolved from the ones that lost, basically. But in each one, some people have moved on to the miraculous side. Maybe we'll see them again once we go to that side.
And is the crystalline body already formed?
It can be. It's something we have to focus on again to let it in. See, this is something also from when it goes way back in the past, from the Silurian races. The crystal people, basically, the ones who are most in tune with crystals. And, we can tune into that. So I'm doing this crystal course in Germany. I wrote the crystal course online anyway. It's because we're actually understanding crystal consciousness can really help you as well. Because crystals are beyond time and space. But also, we can actually build crystal energy into our aura, which changes in many ways. It puts us in touch with the whole kind of what's generally called imagine the greater crystalline sphere. Because basically the universe is built on a crystalline energy. If you're in touch with that, because it's this crystal beyond time and space, you can be in touch with the whole. You can touch with this harmonious pattern of creation, basically. And when your aura is attuned to this, become more crystalline, it becomes non-stick, basically. Negativity doesn't attach. Limitations can't hold on because it knows the truth. You can't be pulled back into illusion when you see truth.
What would be the most important thing to do to get to the right side of bifurcation? Is it raising your vibration or actually doing something for the greater good, or both?
Both go together. See, when you raise your vibration, you are helping everybody because, the more people raise their vibration, the more it exposes around them too, and they're all inspired to do it. They realize it can be done. Basically, when you raise your own vibration, it gives other people permission to do the same. They see it can be done. Gives them that's the main thing. Show it can be done. Show them examples. You don't raise people up by staying down with them. You've got to show them what can be done. That's always the first step. Beyond that, it requires you to actually keep focusing on creating the positive and discreating the negative. These are both steps in the process. We have to raise our vibration, then use that vibration to create the reality we want. This is what raise vibration about. It doesn't automatically bring miracle. It gives you choice because it makes you the creator.
If everything in our lives is a reflection of the spiritual, must we change the spiritual before we can change the physical?
That's what we're doing. When you're changing your vibration, you're changing your spiritual body. Then it filters through and changes the physical. But it's true, all magic is based on this. You're changing in the realities so that they manifest outwardly. Because this physical plane is the end result of a whole sequence from causal plane to formative world, underworld, unconscious, to finally manifesting this world.
So we're just going through the questions, making sure that we are staying on topic. Can you get us more into the positive frame of mind, etc., for the future we share with you today and strengthen our bond to a positive future?
Okay, we can do that. What I'll do now is let's link us all together with this new world. Now, something I want to add here is also of something I haven't done before. It's actually a protected city from before Atlantis. It's called Inner Arabia. It's the one place they started to actually build a positive where no negative could enter. All the negative occult forces could not enter the city. This was the first place to put totally in the positive vibration. So we just link you all to this. We all choose to be in this together and change the vibration. It'll keep us in the positive, where the negative forces can't bring you down.
Isn't that a dragon city?
It's an Atlantean city. It will have dragon energy with it because they work with positive magic. But it's a place of great evolution, very much using crystal energies everywhere to create a very positive vibration and maintain it. Many crystals actually don't store negativity, such as the citrine and the apophyllite and the Herkimer diamond. These cannot store negativity. Yes, at the base of the city, no one you can stick. Negative energies just don't get believed in. They don't hold on, they pass away. Then there were like blue crystals of the celestite, which actually raise the relation with the other crystals around, keeps on a very positive note. So it'll be much like a crystal city created with lots of magic. It keeps a positive vibration and shuts out all the negative. But also be aware that within that, you'll begin to dissipate the negative, but it'll be an easier process because you're on the path of the evolution. So picture this, amongst all this positive, there's also smoky quartz, which you use to actually break things down. So all the negative energies trying to manifest are breaking down. Experience those as a healing process as all the emotions come out and pass. So, give you the vibration of another baby. Just picture that. Remember what it's like. All upon this when you need to. You can invoke it anytime meditation, it will be there. Okay.
But if life is duality, why would we want positivity all the time?
As I was pointing out, when you are positive all the time, the negative will arise, but it's easy to destroy it because you're in the flow. You need to understand the flow there. We have some crystals that actually make a positive vibration, others actually break things down. So as you create the positive, natural process when you're creating, negativity comes up and you just create it. This is what we want.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Can you please talk about the benefits of raising vibration as a group, for example, mass meditations?
Basically, it keeps co-creating it. Remember, the more people co-creating something, the more you actually like to create worlds, because you're not going to be in a new world alone. You'll be people with you. So more people doing it together, you form little groups that hold the resonance within that new world. You as a group enter it and help others enter it as well. So of course it's more amplified when you do it as a group. You actually support each other. You encourage each other, remind you it can be done. If you make many of you together, you can create a new world together. Creating a new world on your own is a bit difficult because you're going to be alone in it. You want to see there's other people there. And you have to know to some degree that other people working towards that. So when you connect with other people and do it together, yes, it's very, very positive.
How important is it right for right now, and with things speeding up for us, to open up our third eye? Should we aim for this as soon as possible? And if we open it, how do we navigate and adjust to our new reality? Any chance you could do a workshop or how to work with it properly while still managing a normal work and life and relationships once this happens?
We did a whole course on that, actually, with the advanced point holding, the advanced crane normative third eye course. But thinking about fully opening a third eye, it does actually make you more aware of choice and all the possibilities. It's not easy if you are not focused on the positive first. So what's going to happen? You're going to see all the negatives in the world as well. You can see all what people really think about you, talk about what they're saying behind your back, all the kind of horrible things people are holding on to. You know, you see all the nasty things out there too. And it's like if you're not ready to handle that, it's like it's going to bring you down. That's why it's part of it, or the process of actually opening the third eye, is to actually be ready to step out of the illusion and step into the reality this way and see things as they are, and use it to chart your way through life. That can help for in most situations, but I'd say in this case, through the bifurcation, it's not so important. We want to be focused on the positive rather than actually always seeing what might happen on a negative way. So it's a little bit different how we use it. Naturally, we're balancing all the chakras up, working them together so they work for harmony, so we have enough vision to actually see how to get to the reality we want. But we don't not necessarily want to see too much at this time. We want to keep our focus on where we're going.
And speaking of the third eye, what is the best way to clear it?
And I said a lot of it is actually realizing why you've closed this and what you're afraid to see. So you're going to be seeing lots of things you don't want to see. You have to step out of the kind of illusions that people are in and be willing to actually chart your way through the maze of life by seeing all the kind of dark corners and knowing where to go. It starts by being willing to step into a greater reality, willing to see through all the crap around you, willing to see all the negative thoughts around you, willing to see what people really think and what they're really doing, willing to see all the kind of negative in the world as well. So what often happens is people wake up, see all the terrible things in the world, and go back to sleep again. Means in order to actually have awakening, there must be authority as well. Otherwise, you want to go back straight back to sleep again. When you see all this negativity, you have to know you can change it. So you see all these things go together. Being a good manifester goes with having an open third eye. You have to do these things together.
Please, could you talk about the importance of having a daily spiritual practice and also whether spiritual enlightenment is a matter of grace or of being committed to the right practices? For example, so is just being diligent and it will happen enough? But then decades of meditation can also be ungrounded and destroyed if other issues are not dealt with. For example, stories of monks coming down from their caves and being tempted by beautiful women.
Well, there was a simple saying from the Buddha, prepare the soil for when the seed is planted. We're doing our work in preparation. At some point, the seed will be planted. So there's a matter of grace. We're also re-preparing to go hand in hand. We don't do it all ourselves. We're receiving, but we have to do our share. You should remember the old Christian song, which you sing at school, it said, we plough the shield. Fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it's fed and watered by God's Almighty. And it's like we do our share, God does the rest. It's always both here. So yes, there is grace, but we're preparing ourselves, doing what we need to be ready for that change. Resonating with the positive, with the positive energies, reaching out to the gods who are helping us. So a spiritual practice is basically keeping us aligned to where we want to go. If you look at it, our focus is always on something. What do you focus on that's changing you? If you always focus on the positive and the future and improving, that's where you're going to go. You keep focusing on the problems around you, that's where you're going to stay. So, of course, we need to actually direct our energy, direct our attention. But it's on something that's positive for us in the way we're going. This is all part of actually our natural process of creating a reality. We focus on the future. I know a lot of people say that power's in the now, but that's actually bullshit. It's not possible to be now. Our mind is always trying to solve the future all the time. That's why we have dreams. And basically, it's our future that motivates us to everything we do. Without a future, we don't have any experience. Because every experience is a double quantum wave between you and the future. Something doesn't have to have a future, it can't be experienced. So we need to actually get rid of a lot of some of this negative condition that partial people misunderstood and realize our future is a huge part of what motivates us, determines our direction. So our practices are all based upon future we want. If you want spiritual growth, you have to give it attention in your life. If you want more abundance and positive change, you keep attention in your life. So be aware of where your attention is in your life. If it's on negative things, that's going to be your future too. If it's on just working all the time, that's going to be your future. So that's why we make time in our routine every day to be resonating with what we want, where we want to go. That's what it's really about. It's not a fixed pattern of what we have to do in our spiritual path and our practices. It's about making space for who you're becoming, where you're going.
So now I'm going to move on to non-related questions. So I hear the terms gods and goddesses, and then the term goddess. Could you explain the difference between these terms, please?
To understand how they all fit in, you've got to realise there is one creator, one pure awareness which you're all a part of. It has different expressions, which you can then give it different names. This is why in some systems they have many names of God, in other systems you've got different gods. Like, for instance, the word Deva in the Indian system actually means attribute. It means these different gods are not really different gods, they're different attributes of the creator. Different ways that power is acting. Because that pure energy of creator can do anything. If there's so many different possibilities, and each expression of energy is going to appear differently. So there's one creator that's equally powerful, but he has so many different forms. So really, they're all one. However, trying to attune to that oneness without anything to attach to is very difficult because we are used to forms and functions and things. We tend to focus on the way it acts in a way. It's way within deities. They have a certain way they act, a certain energy they express. They're different expressions of the same power. So those are what the gods and goddesses are. When we look at the one goddess, we're looking at all the mother with all of them. She who actually dreamed everything into existence in the first place, the dreamer. Well, see, that alone isn't everything because it's like dreaming is only one function. That's the first function. First of all, let's create something, create all the gods. That's the first function. You see the many ways. It's like you might talk about Brahma, the Indian Supreme Creator, but also he had his wife, Savitri, who was the creator with him. And then, you know, it became very much masculine later. But in this development, it was Tiamat who dreamed up the gods in the first place. So basically, the first goddess is the one who actually dreamed all this existence, dreamed up all the gods. Then all the gods and us and everything has created many layers since then, this world as it is now. So the one goddess is the one who first changes forms as it has experienced its creation and actually does different things in that. It's got more possibilities now. Now there's a more complex creation to work with. So we have new forms since then, new expressions of that pure awareness. See, in the Sanskrit, they're called the Adiparashakti, the first supreme power. It wasn't given a personality like the other gods. I guess it's the energy which all comes from. Then it has its early expressions like the first trinity of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, which all with the feminine, so it's different levels in the hierarchy in a way. You've got the first creators and then all the ones who become part of the complexity of creation. Like, for instance, you've got Lakshmi creating abundance, Ganesh who opens the doors and so on. The forms of Shiva help with evolution. So it's like you can see there's many different deities, all expressions of one source. They're not really separate, they're different expressions of your awareness. And we are part of that as well.
I've got a shadow question here. Sorry, I need to go back up to it. When you do shadow work, what happens if you don't have any clue what to offer? Also, I don't hear my higher self saying yes or no.
You have to search your feelings at that point. What do you feel? See, it might not necessarily come in. We all have an intuition. We all have an inner guidance that works in some way. It must not necessarily come in images and words. It comes to our feelings. And quite often these feelings get confused. You might have this feeling, I can't trust myself. I'm going to face that one. You will have to be there to welcome it. But then look at what's happening anyway. Okay, there is a message here, but I don't trust myself. What is the feeling underneath this? The idea is to work through layers of feeling, yeah. Because really, this is how the intuition is going to work through feeling. Sometimes you put it into images, or what's happening, you're facing a shadow. There's really dark side, there's really light stuff, there's really potential. All stuff you pushed away because you couldn't quite own it. So naturally, it's going to be difficult to own it. So therefore, even when your intuition functions, which is where your higher self comes in, something you doesn't want to trust in that either. So you welcome that. So it doesn't hear, you don't hear it, so you don't hear them. Rather than dismiss it, stop and feel what you feel about that. How does this affect on your life? Well, the other is you're not actually trusting yourself into to go forward. Don't feel you have any, or the general belief you have no guidance, therefore can't see your way through life. This is all kind of emotional conditioning as well from the past. This is all part of the shadow. So you just simply let it come up. In silence, that's okay. So we also give a certain meditation with these images. It's like it might not be beyond those images. Doesn't mean the process isn't working. Stay in that space, let feelings come up. That's the main thing, see how you feel. And this will lead to change. When you do the process, it's triggering something. The realization might come later. But of course, you don't exchange gifts in this case without checking the higher self. So take time over that one. If you're not getting gifts straight away, okay, stop and feel how that feels to you. What's reflecting on your life? Where the stops on your life, the way you feel you can't go forward. These are all kind of different things that are happening inside that need to be reported out.
I personally use a pendulum just to check that I've heard correctly from my higher self. Is that all right?
So you can. You can. It works for you, yeah. You can do that too, yeah. You can do that too. Yeah, yes or no for that way, yeah.
Yeah, I make sure I listen first, and then I double check with the pendulum. Right. So going back to the questions, thank you very much. Next one, can you hear me? Okay, just want to double check before I move on.
Pendulum, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. How does this? Because you released new tiger empowerments earlier on in the month. Last month, should I say now? Because we're in March. How does this Tanaga Dalam tiger empowerment relate to the dragon Tanaga Dalam? I already have Chakra Naga Grandmaster level. Would this be supplementary, similar but different, or is it redundant now?
No, it's not redundant. It's different. You find when you look at Tanaga Dalam, there's many different forms which bring in different aspects of power. Tanaga Dalam basically means inner power, and that can mean many things. Now, quite often it was used for martial arts ability to give you invulnerability to strikes and things, the extra power that way. But obviously there's more spiritual sides for healing and intuition and awakening charisma and so on. So the dragon is basically the raw powers that you're going to use in magic. It does give protection as well, but it's more for the protection against black magic than against physical strikes. Tiger is a little bit different. The tiger is seen for two things, physical power and charisma, a sense of authority where people are going to listen to you and they're all going to respect you. Put that along with the actual strength it gives, which is, you know, works with the tiger to keep your physical protection in to apply to. It kind of gives you a certain level of mastery that way. It makes you fearless, unafraid, and able to handle anything. So the tiger tender balance of actually getting through your physical life through its conflicts, particularly good for warriors and those who are in position of authority, who need to actually maintain that authority and have people respect them. But we all need that sanctity, of course. The tiger brings you respect. The dragon simply gives them more magical power.
Peter talks about doing shadow... hang on, is this the same question? No, next question. Peter talks about doing shadow work. Is it shadow if I am fully aware of some of the things that I need to work on and let go of? For example, I have no respect for authority figures. I know I have to let go of anger or whatever it is that I'm carrying about past run-ins with authorities. Is this classed as shadow work?
No. Shadow is the stuff that you don't own. Things you're aware of are not shadow. So a shadow holds all the things we've denied and trying to be us, and it shows it at us from the outside. Shadow work through those around you who come to bring the feedback. Those you're closest to, those who you hate and admire, those who are closest to you, the reflections and projections. Now, for instance, if you have lots of angry people around you, it's showing you that you're angry and dealt with. On the other hand, if you deny your creativity, you can have creative people around you, and it usually manifests as envy. These are the ways the shadow works. You look at the reflections and projections around you to show you what you haven't owned. Stuff you're aware of is that's not shadow, you've already owned it. Shadow is all the stuff that you're not owning. That's why you do the shadow work, to actually uncover the other rest, what's coming up from the outside, to understand how why things are coming up from the outside all the time. Because things you've denied will come out through other people around you, that's the thing. And understanding shadow helps you deal with those things. It becomes a process of growth, what the process called constant conflict.
We started a few minutes late, so I will continue for the next few minutes. I will ask all of the questions that are in the chat right now, and then any other question that comes in into the chat that can go into the MeWe group. So moving to the next question then, please. Speaking of things going wrong and dealing with chaos, a week ago, in three separate incidents, four of my family members could have died. So do I go back to those feelings and just create the fear of that, and that will prevent any future possible freak things? Any advice is appreciated for this.
When death is close, I say it's really time to face your darker lore. We deal with that on the darkness course. Basically, you know, your fears around death are clues to what your darker lore is. So I would visit those feelings as well, remember how it felt. Look what fears come up within you, and particularly your feelings around death. All this is going to point to what that lore is operating in you, which is still confining you inside. Basically, but find your darker lore and break it. So yeah, go back to those feelings. Go into those. Explore what you're afraid of, what you feel around death, see what you can learn from it. And it will point to where your limited laws are as well.
And continuing on, in one incident, I used the kodams from the workshop and I chanted the Mahamudra mantra. Is there anything else that we could do in emergencies, and could by any chance create some emergency 911 orbs that may be specifically, like, if, for example, if a stroke or a heart attack happens or someone's choking, and one we can put on cars for family members to prevent car accidents?
The Kodam will respond to emergencies just by doing the short prayer. It'll actually deal with whatever's there at the time. They actually respond to be fast in emergencies. They tend to be slower when you're not in emergency, but when there's an emergency situation, the Kodam will act. You just do a short prayer for it, it'll actually do what it needs to do. Protection for cars, yeah, we have to create some orbs there, I guess. On my healing chart, there's a clear orb and a Kodam orb and things like that you can actually use on vehicles as well. A protection, yes, you could just as well put all the codon pairs into an orb and send it. It's not so much easier with the first level codon, the Asmat codon, because you've just got one codon. If you go into the high level, such as Super Jagged Angel, you have the ability to call hundreds and thousands of codons. Then the spells become more appropriate because you could put an orb which calls loads of codons to that situation rather than just the one. Your one codon might be a bit spread trying to do too many things. But yes, if you do go to the higher codon levels, you can actually put those prayers into orbs and use minions. And
What if Jasara or Nasara is just another psyops to make new age dumb people, to make new age people dumb, sorry, and make them await for the savior? So anything to say about Jasara and Nasara, if I'm
no, I
saying
say
those
don't wait for the
correctly?
savior. That's what I'm saying. Don't wait for a savior. Use it as a reflection of what can happen. No, we can decide this is. This is impossible. It's all going to be like a psyops again. Everything's going to go wrong, and you can create that reality. But even if it isn't somebody else doing it, we can create something similar. Use this image of a positive side that's trying to happen, whichever way you see it at the moment. It's like we're not letting somebody else do it. We are doing it. That's what I was saying. Focus on this positive and the negative. We're going to focus on the positive and discredit the negative.
Do you have any suggestions for Mahashivaratri?
Well, do the full all-night vigil. Basically, if you sit up all night doing meditation, doing the mantras, you're supposed to be a million times more powerful that night. So it's a great time to just meditate all night, fasting all day, and just meditating and doing mantras all night, trying to stay awake and doing them. Normal thing to do, every 3 hours, you do a puja. You do it at 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. So it'll be like a night vigil. So in between the pujas, it's just sitting there doing mantras.
Once on the right side of the bifurcation, how do we build and maintain heightened vibration from the personal into the collective? Is this a movement from adept to teacher?
Oh, it'll be easy once you're there because it's harness to pull you down. Let's see in a world where everybody's positive and everybody wants to get on you better. We just then from there get on with creating your vision. If you want positive people, we'll get together and say, hey, what are we going to create now? Let's look at our future and let's start visualizing it. And you'd be encouraging each other. So it's going to be easy that way. Of course, you're still going to actually apply yourself and carry on creating what you want. That doesn't stop. All our life is really about creating what we want, constantly crafting our reality, building more and more of our dreams. But now with other people doing it with you, we can have joint dreams to work with, as well as your personal ones. You get on together creating a better world. It just continues.
With so many empowerments, what is the best way to manage them all? With the Orb of Life, we can put the mantras in, and the last workshop, you very kindly gave us the Karoma Kabbalah Orb and the angel one. Can't say it. Can we make orbs for all of our empowerments and then put all of these orbs into a single master orb? And then we can then duplicate and call that every day so that we get all of our mantras and empowerments in one go.
Basically, this orbs can be used in many ways. What I always do is have an orb. Every time I have the power to press, I put it into the orb and have it continue repeating them 24/7, basically. So it's like the orb is actually doing mantras continuously all the time. So all you do with mantras, just keep adding to that. I still do some practice every day, obviously, because you want to be part of it, but the orb can be doing in the background as well all the time to keep it alive. So you can put everything into one orb that's working continuously for that kind of thing.
And as I said, those were the questions that I would ask due to time. And then if any other questions come in, they can go into the MeWe group. So we've got your notes about those people who have been trying to contact Peter. As I said, he was in Peru. He's been traveling and obviously very busy trying to catch up since returning. So we'll make sure that he's alerted your requests.
I'm still catching up.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Falling asleep, jet lag, trying to read them all. So,
indeed, I am suffering from jet lag as we speak. So, thank you very much, everybody, for being here today, for bringing your questions and your comments. Obviously, it contributes to the community that Peter is creating here and all of you. So, yes, thank you, Veronica. Thank you, Stefan. Today is the 2nd of March. So, the next call that we have. I do believe is the magical workshop, which is happening on the 23rd, and that is magical protection. So if you want to learn how to protect yourself against all ghoulies and ghouls and ghosts and negative energies and entities, then this is the workshop for you. Please do check out Peter's intro video on the website to get more information, see if you would like to come along. And if you are a member, please do make sure that you register so that you get the join link. Yes, and do make sure that you let everyone know about these free Q&As and let all your friends and family know if they would like to join. You are welcome to share the information. Anything else from you, Peter, before we depart?
Not that I can think of right now. I'm still having cocoon, playing the next lot, playing for Egypt and everything now.
Indeed. So again, I said that Peter will be off on his jollies. Well, it's not jollies. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's jollies, but it's probably jollies for you. Off on his jollies to Egypt. So Peter will be out of office again as he's working on that retreat with those people who will be attending the Egyptian initiations. So thank you very much, everyone, for your patience, for your understanding, for your flexibility. And we will see you either on the magical workshop or we'll see you on the next Q&A. Thank you very much, Peter in an office. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, yes, thank you very much, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And we'll speak to you all very, very soon. MeWe group in the meantime. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, see you all soon then.
Bye. Bye.